room, so we'll go ahead and begin. This is agenda item 13, status of the Los Osos wastewater project. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. This is an opportunity to update the board, and presenting our staff report today is David Licaro of our staff.
Thanks. Okay. Good morning, Chair Young, members of the board.
Good morning.
My name is Dave Licaro, as Roger said. I work in the wastewater compliance unit, permitting, and I'm the project lead for developing the county's Los Osos wastewater project waste discharge requirements. It's quite a mouthful, but primarily just the waste discharge requirements for the project. And today I'm pleased to provide the water board members as well as the public an update on the Los Osos wastewater project, that the county has made considerable progress since the last update in May of 2009. I also have invited county representatives to provide additional information, as well as to be here for any specific questions you guys may have. So I provided an update to the Water Board, again, in May 8th, 2009. The update included a discussion of water production and seawater intrusion in the Los Osos Basin and the Regional Board's jurisdiction regarding water supply. We also had county representatives available to give a little bit of an update as to where they were in May 2009 as well. But in summary, the courts have jurisdiction over water production in the Los Osos Basin. Our jurisdiction covers specifically waste discharges that have the potential to impact water quality or receiving waters. The local water purveyors and the county are currently developing a basin management plan, or a groundwater basin management plan, to address the current and future impacts associated with water production in order to improve long-term basin conditions. So more recent progress. The county has undergone some extensive environmental review that has evaluated multiple project scenarios, all of which have been scrutinized by the public and local and various agencies. The county adopted its final impact report and coastal development permit in September 2009, identifying the preferred environmental project. And I'll get into the details. There's another slide that talks about what that project is. After some appeals to the Coastal Commission unanimously approved the newly conditioned permit and final EIR on June 11, 2010. More recently, the county submitted its report of waste discharge application in August 16, 2010. The county's proposed project consists of a collection system, obviously, a treatment system capable of achieving tertiary standards or Title 22 recycled waters, disposal to two leach fields, and a program to reuse recycled water in urban and agricultural areas within the community. The treatment facility will be located at the Jacomazzi property, which is just north of the Los Osos Cemetery, off of Los Osos Road, if you're familiar with that. The disposal of tertiary treated water will occur at the Broderson site and the Bay Ridge leach field area. Urban reuse is proposed at various locations, but primarily targeting some of the schools. And agri-use is going to be targeted primarily in the ag areas and the eastern fringe of the community. So I've begun the process of developing waste discharge requirements for the project. And the WDRs, or waste discharge requirements, include findings of significance, discharge prohibitions, effluent limits, recycled water specifications, basically everything that's included. And in fact, the WDR is going to look very similar to what was seen in 2003, which was adopted by the board at that time. The draft waste discharge requirements will be available early February. I'm hoping to shoot for next week, but we'll see how the comments go. I have a few edits to do, at which time then it'll be a 30-day comment period. And then we plan to propose waste discharge requirement at the subsequent May 5th 2011 board meeting. So I'll be back in front of you then. Currently, the county is pursuing funds necessary to construct the project. On September 3rd, 2010, the U.S. Department of Agriculture committed to fund $87 million, which is a combined low-interest loan and grant monies. The county currently awaits funding commitment from the State Board. In fact, State Board staff is going to propose funding commitment resolution at its March 1st, 2011 meeting. And lastly, the county has submitted its Integrated Regional Water Management Program application, which includes allocating some Prop 84 funds towards the project. On May 5th, 2010, the ISJ Working Group released the Los Osos Basin update. Just for your information, the ISJ Working Group is comprised of three local water purveyors and the county, which are all parties that are identified in the Interlocutory Stipulated Judgment, or ISJ. The Los Osos Basin update identified water purveyor implementation activities. It also talked about the condition and current rate of seawater intrusion in the basin. And so as a follow-up, we discussed these activities and discovered that the water purveyors are actually doing more activities and interim actions. We developed a memo in July of 2010 identifying these interim actions, and that's actually an attachment to your board packet there, your agenda packet. These interim actions are currently being implemented prior to the development of the draft basin management plan, which is slated to be released in March of this year. So what should we anticipate on the road ahead? Well, I've already discussed the funding hearing in March, which is great. We're looking forward to that. Also, the waste discharge requirements for your consideration in May. Next, we're hoping to see that the staff will continue to propose a resolution for due diligence this April or sometime around that time, in which case the county will basically take full responsibility for the project legally. Also, construction is slated to be done, to start up in October of this year in order to reach our end goal of facility startup in December 2014. So that concludes my update. It's very brief. Certainly would love to answer any questions that you may have, in specific questions. One quick note, though, for those interested parties, I have here highlighted in green a way to receive notifications, the waste discharge requirements for your comment, and here are basically steps on how to get online and receive these. We're trying to get rid of sending out large volumes of paper. We're looking at upwards of 300 interested parties for this item. So as you can imagine, that's quite a bit of paper being sent out. But if we can do this online, that's definitely our goal. We do have some forms that have this information, as well as if you don't have access to internet, you may be able to write down your email address, your home address and your name, and then we can go ahead and send you a hard copy. But again, we're trying to get out of that. I also have county representatives here to add additional information and provide any answers to your questions. And so feel free to give me any questions you may have about my update. Otherwise, we can move on with their presentation. We can save them all to the end.
David, I have something I'd like you to address. You touched on it briefly, and that was, I think, in the first slide or two.
Okay.
Your efforts at looking at the seawater intrusion issue. And I know that we had this request a couple of board meetings ago. I know Ms. Taylor is here in the audience, and she had raised it with us in terms of what the Water Board could do to get involved in that issue. And subsequent to that, I think we've talked about it internally in terms of what we can and can't do. Can you go into that in a little more detail in terms of what we're authorized to do? specifically with respect to seawater intrusion and what we can't do?
Sure. I think it would be appropriate to kind of reflect on what we had talked about in May of 2009. Really, our jurisdiction lies in regulating waste discharges, stormwater, and such. Seawater is a result of overpumping water supply and production in that area. Unfortunately, our jurisdiction in that, really we don't have any jurisdiction over or control over water production. In this case, with this interlocutory stipulated judgment, the courts have jurisdiction over water production. They've identified the parties that have a bigger stake in the basin. In other words, have management and are able to develop some management practices that'll address not only how they produce, but at the same time, hopefully, blocking or slowing down, if not eliminating, this seawater intrusion. We did, after our May 2009 meeting, discuss with some of the water purveyors some of the activities that they were doing, and I alluded to that during the presentation. We're trying to get a better feel for what they're doing and how their activities might coincide with our WDRs and specifically the treatment of wastewater and the reuse. You know, certainly there's some benefit there, an opportunity there that I think will allow these water purveyors to kind of use that to their advantage and minimize some of those pumping rates.
It seems like a lengthy process, and you know the speakers that came before us in May were really urging us to get involved, do something now, get it resolved quickly.
Right.
And I don't know that there's anything that we can do to help that, because there's another procedure for handling that. And I think what maybe is confusing to the public is that we are a water quality agency, and certainly salt in potential drinking water could be deemed a pollutant, if you want to call it that. But because it doesn't arise out of the discharge of waste, we don't have any regulatory power to get involved and do much at all. It's unfortunate, but there's very little we can do other than encourage the water purveyors to act.
And that's exactly what we've been trying to do. We agree that seawater intrusion and the rates that are being identified now, I mean, it's really too bad. We definitely see that as a major concern. And you're exactly right. We've been approaching water purveyors and trying to encourage them to really focus in on, one, expediting this process to develop a management plan specific to that basin, and more specifically looking at seawater intrusion and what kind of practices they can do to minimize that.
Okay. Thank you. So we have Supervisor Bruce Gibson with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I am Supervisor Bruce Gibson of the 2nd District Supervisor of San Luis Obispo County. I'm very pleased to be here before you this morning, and I do greatly appreciate your interest in this project, and even more appreciate the hard work that you and your staff have done over years now on this, and the support that that this board has shown as we have worked our way through a number of milestones since last we've appeared before you. It's hard to believe that it's coming up on 2 years. I have with me today Mr. John Waddell, who's the project manager, the man with a to-do list longer than all of ours put together, ready to talk a little bit about next steps. And certainly we'd be happy to go into any level of detail, especially regarding the reuse and its interaction with the groundwater basin litigation that's underway. It's clearly the driving force behind this wastewater project, something that the county has spent a lot of time on. And as I listened to the previous presentation, I'm proud to announce that we will not be joining Heal the Oceans MAP, because this project does not have an ocean outfall. This project is 100% reuse and recycle of the water. David touched on the ways in which it it happens. As John will speak to a little bit, the purpose of that recycling is to do everything that a wastewater project can to address the seawater intrusion problem, which we know is the serious one. In terms of my particular work, I have been deeply involved, as has staff, in extensive discussions with the State Water Board staff, particularly the staff of the revolving fund program, on securing the second half of the financing for this project. And we are very encouraged by the discussions we've had. We're very optimistic that we will get a package of financing that will be very favorable and do a great deal to drive down the cost of compliance, the cost to the individual homeowners. This is not the last effort that we have in trying to address affordability, which, as I'm sure you've heard, is the number one issue here. We look forward to the release of the State Water Board staff report soon, and we particularly look forward to their action on the 1st of March. Expecting favorable action on the 1st of March, our Board of Supervisors is prepared to act on a resolution to proceed in the middle of March. And it is with that resolution to proceed that we formally do take responsibility for the project, and things will kick into high gear, as Mr. Waddell will indicate. When that resolution is passed, I will very likely be back before your board with a formal request for rescission of the CDOs that have been issued to individuals in Los Osos. Talked to staff a bit about the underlying logic of that. With our resolution to proceed, we the county will have full responsibility, and I think it would be a good move to remove whatever cloud remains by the existence of the CDOs to individuals. I understand that they are effectively in abeyance under their terms and under the progress the county has made. But I think it would be a fair and reasonable step. I offer it to you today simply as a point of information for your consideration in the coming months, and we'll look forward to be back before you to discuss it further. With that, I would turn it over to John Waddell and let him give you a few details here.
Good morning. I am John Waddell, and with the County Public Works Department. As Supervisor Gibson as well as Mr. LaCaro have said, we've completed the environmental review process, and we're getting near the end of the financing process. And so I'm going to review some of the next steps as we move into design and construction. And the goal is to be in construction within the year. We have a long list. We do have a long list of to-dos, focused primarily on the pre-construction conditions from both the coastal development permit and the funding agencies. And I'm just going to hit some of the major ones. First of all, we have submitted that application for waste discharge, and we're looking forward to working with your staff in the coming months to address comments and questions during the review period leading up to May hearing. Obtaining right-of-way of course, a critical step, and we've started that formal process of appraisals and acquisitions to secure all the right-of-way and properties needed for the project. We are in progress on a habitat management plan, which is a requirement of the coastal permit. It requires that we document all existing habitat and develop a restoration plan for sensitive areas that will be disturbed by the project. And a key part of that condition is that this includes the requirement to restore the Midtown site that was previously graded and disturbed in 2005 as part of the LOCSD's project. Kind of some major efforts, especially as your board's already indicated your interest in, is the recycled water reuse and groundwater basin management plan. That, again, is another key condition of the coastal permit. And it includes water conservation, a recycled water reuse program, monitoring, reporting, and adaptive management. Have the whole list of water, both wastewater reuse, recycled water reuse, but also addressing water supply issues in Los Osos. And so we are coordinating those efforts with the ISJ process and with the water purveyors in order to maximize the overall benefit to the basin and primarily with the overall goal of mitigating seawater intrusion. We're also, just on a side note, we're also coordinating with the water purveyors to implement a salt and nutrient management plan and looking to make sure that our monitoring program under the wastewater project is consistent with the needs and requirements of a salt and nutrient management plan and therefore going to maximize the efficiency of the monitoring in the basin and also the cooperation with the purveyors. So finally, regarding design and construction, in the coming months we will be reinitiating the collection system design as well as the treatment facility, which we intend to do a design build process. The plan for the collection system is to use the existing CSD's design for areas that don't require major changes, and so which we anticipate is going to be a large part of the collection system, and that will allow for a quick turnaround on the design process and being able to get in to solicit bids and begin construction in a relatively short time, especially for a project this large, and allow us to meet our goal of getting into construction this year. Then parts of the collection system that need to be redesigned, and then also the treatment facility, those will be phased into construction in the following months. And so in the next 12 to 18 months, then the entire all of the packages of all the portions of the project should be in construction. So thank you for taking the time to hear the update on the project, and we'd be pleased to answer questions either now or after public comment.
Comments or questions at this point in time? Mr. Jeffries?
Well, I don't know if you were here in our earlier discussion about a problem we have with the flooding of a wastewater treatment plant, but I hope your design is such that you do not have any maintenance failures.
We will certainly pay close attention to both the layout and the redundancies in the plant. As far as flooding from stormwater, it's not in a low-lying area. Also intend to use both LID measures at the treatment plant site to minimize runoff, and then also anything that is adjacent to, directly around the treatment works would be actually captured in retention basins so that, if needed, can be pumped back into the treatment process.
And if I might add on to that, certainly the operation of the entire system is going to be under an operation plan whose formal name I don't recall, which speaks to prevention of spills and the integrity of the operation. But I would say that I think it's a relatively rare event when an entire community sewer system is installed. Most of the systems that you all deal with and most of the problems that you all deal with come from systems that are many, many years old. I think one of the hallmarks of the development of this project was to understand lessons of the past, and we will be especially watchful to make sure that the engineering and the operation of this plant conforms to the most modern standards to reduce the risk as absolutely far as possible.
I appreciate that comment, and I'll remember that statement.
Let's put it differently. I don't want to be before you in another role. I want to be bringing you happy news and not answering your difficult questions. So,
well, you might take a look at, not now, but later. Our agenda item 11 is our enforcement report, and there are just some examples of plant failures after the heavy rains we had in December. Water getting into electrical conduits, shorting out, things of that nature. Seems like that should be really preventable.
Absolutely preventable. Again, as to that specific one, our Board of Supervisors is very much involved in understanding the source of that, even though the South County Sanitation District is a sovereign entity under its, under the powers of the state. The county is considerably concerned because we do have authority and responsibility for the management of floodwaters. That's exactly the kind of learning experience that I was referring to when I responded to Mr. Jeffries.
Okay. Could you tell us more about what's going to happen with your efforts to address affordability. I know it's not really typically germane to what we deal with the Water Board, but I know it's a big community interest item. You alluded to it, but
yeah. So we've worked on a sort of a three-tier strategy. One is to choose cost-effective technology and design the construction project, the construction bidding and contracting process in the best way to get the lowest price for the overall price of the project. John has referenced steps to where we are right now, and we are in a very good bid environment, and we expect that this bid environment will be very advantageous. I would say that when we make estimates of cost per household, the estimates that we have talked about in the past, those are on reasonably conservative estimates of both bid prices and financing terms. And as you know, in purchasing anything large, be it a house, a car, or whatever, the financing package is the next thing that speaks to the monthly affordability. We were very fortunate in working with our congressional delegation and Senator Feinstein's office and Representative Capps to have a population cap waiver entered in a federal ag appropriations bill that eventually led to the package of financing from the USDA. 40-year financing at 3.25% plus a $4 million grant. That lowered our estimate substantially. With the State Water Board financing, we expect a further lowering of the estimated cost per household. But we're by no means done at that point. Even discussions will continue, even with the State Water Board staff, as to the other programs that they have in place, and I'll touch on that in just a bit. Mr. Licaro did reference our Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. We have submitted a $7 million grant for that, and John can refresh my memory as to what particular part of the project that was aimed at in general. And so that would be general in terms of, as you can tell, an integrated management of water and wastewater here. We also then move into a third tier of strategies to help affordability, which involves trying to target financial assistance to individuals on a needs tested basis. The first two tiers are rather difficult in general to be able to get money to the people who need it, as opposed to everybody that's affected by this. But we would point out that your board's support for the State Water Board's redesignation of a disadvantaged community is helping us tremendously. If you recall, your board was very supportive of the idea that the State Board's definition of a disadvantaged community or a community that's in need of special attention be referenced to the cost of compliance. So they're instead of just looking at whether the community is disadvantaged as a whole or not, they look at the cost of compliance. And their target right now is 4% of the median household income. If the cost of compliance is more than that, that's the affordability threshold. So we're in conversations with the State Board on programs that they have that could help individuals afford this project, separate from their revolving fund project. We are in conversations with the U.S. Department of Agriculture about programs they've had in place for a long time that go on means testing. And we are working through the county's federal money that comes from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, so-called Community Development Block Grants, or CDBG, which are specifically targeted at incomes, folks with incomes who need the help. So it's a multi-pronged approach. John has a long list of things to do on the engineering design and contracting side. We have other individuals who have appeared before you previously who are just as busy working on the financing side. So we're hopeful to keep pushing these down. As we are assured of specific financing or grants, we will be revising. And we have other means of trying to spread the cost over undeveloped properties and things that are a little more complicated and can go in, as I say, to any level of detail that you want on.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Just for clarity, can you tell us what the estimated cost of the project is and what your projected cost per household is at this point.
Sure. Let me speak specifically to the cost of the community wastewater system. On top of those are costs for the on-lot connection costs for individuals, and there's a previous assessment that the Los Osos CSD had entered that pertains to wastewater and that is ongoing in the community. But just in the cost of the system, for the system right now, we are estimating both the property tax assessment and the rates and charges to come to about $194 per month for the average single-family house. Now, that's an average. We have passed one of the major milestones we didn't talk about, but was in December we passed a rates and charges ordinance that has a flat rate that everybody will pay, and then a rate that's based on water consumption. It's very similar to what the city of San Luis Obispo does. But based on indoor water consumption, we have established rates that then go up from the flat rate. So low water users would be paying much less, somewhat less than the average, and higher water users somewhat more. Mobile home parks and apartments will have a lower flat rate, and actually, in some instances, low water users in mobile home parks at this point may be on the order of $100, closer to $100 a month than $194. It's a complex table. Again, we can talk about and get you the information. We know that as we have structured our attempt to bring the cost down, one of the key issues is spreading the cost as widely as we can. And the $194 per month does not include any assessment on the undeveloped properties that lie within the prohibition zone. We are waiting to be able to have some assurance that those undeveloped properties can, in fact, develop. Depends on a large number of other issues than the wastewater project: water availability, habitat conservation, interactions with the Coastal Commission. We expect before the plant is put into operation to be able to propose an assessment for the undeveloped properties that would take another $27 million of the cost and spread it over the undeveloped properties. With that, the monthly estimate average drops to $163. We're fully expecting, both from that 194 and 163, that the State Water Board financing will significantly drop it. If we can add an earworm grant, it will drop it further. So we're working our way down. It is actually the most active part of my life and interaction with the staff, is to try to keep working on the grants and attractive financing to try to bring this lower.
One follow-up.
Sure.
One group you didn't mention, and which I'm curious about, and frankly I didn't follow as closely as I wanted to, was the commercial rates.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just speak briefly about how the commercial rate will be different than the residential rates?
Well, I actually didn't bring the table in front of me, so I can't give you exact numbers. There has been some controversy on that. We've been accused of misestimating the commercial flows as we have spread the cost in the rates and charges hearing. In Los Osos, the actual commercial use is relatively low, dominantly residential use. Within the estimate, the error that we have been suggested is a handful of dollars a month out of the 194. But the rates and charges ordinance was based on the best available information we had that showed how much commercial use, how much residential use. And we've considered it very carefully. We believe we have a structure that's based on reasonable assumptions. Commercial users will pay the same usage charge. Their flat rate will be different, but everybody will pay $7.54 a month per unit per 100 cubic feet of water, indoor water use, for their sewage disposal. So all of that evens out, and we wanted to be sure that it did have a use component, because water conservation is going to be a very important aspect of this project.
You didn't address the low income. Is there any help for folks that are on fixed income or not able to pay that amount?
That would largely come through efforts with the State Water Board. Is it a subset of the State Revolving Fund program, or is it a separate one, John, for on-lot costs? So the State Water Board has a separate program that would help individuals with their on-lot costs on a needs-tested basis. The USDA has a similar program, and the CDBG, or Community Development Block Grant Program, would be similarly directed toward those individuals who will have trouble with the expense of this. One other thing that I should mention, there is actually private charitable possibilities here as well. The Los Osos CSD did deliver to the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation a sum, if I remember correctly, around $180,000 that sits with the Community Foundation ready to be dispersed to individuals for the express purpose of affording compliance with this. I've been actively promoting in the community that I think it's time now to start trying to build that fund, whether it's for on-lot costs or some kind of operating assistance. In any way that we can help, we'll be looking for a program to do so.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? All right. Thank you very much. Why don't we go to our speakers? Yeah, I've got 8 speaker cards. Everyone will have 3 minutes each to address the board. Keith Weimer, Julie Tacker, Jeff Edwards, first 3 speakers. Mr. Weimer?
I'd like to use the overheads.
Okay.
Take a while to warm up and we change the order.
Okay. Mr. Edwards, do you want to start? So we're not wasting any time, and Mr. Weimer can follow you as soon as you're completed.
Before my time starts, Mr. Chairman, I did request 5 minutes. I wanted to cover 2 specific categories, if that's possible.
Who did you request that of?
I put it on my speaker slip card. I'd like to talk about financing and the seawater intrusion issue.
3 minutes. Thank you.
I'll have to speak very quickly. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Edwards. Good morning, board members. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos, and I'd like to thank your staff for their presentation. Unfortunately, staff can only report the facts that they're given, and the facts coming from the county simply they defy logic in some cases. It's also unfortunate that your state board member isn't here, Ms. Spivey Weber, because ultimately, as your board knows, on March 1st, the state board will consider the financing package for this project. And unfortunately, in spite of the good work from the county, we're looking at a very unfavorable financing package. Basically, between May of last year and October, Los Osos got screwed, and by the county, and it's again and again. What happened is that the USDA money that you've heard, which is the origin of this money, is in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. It's a very high interest rate. It's 3.25%, and I'd like to hand out a financial analysis that looks at a more optimal arrangement of the financing. This stimulus money that the county works so hard to get not only comes with a high interest rate, but it's been justified by offering a 40-year term. Well, this simply results in tens of millions of dollars in added interest being paid by the community for an already expensive project. and this is over the life of the loan, again, the 40 years. The sheet you have reflects some information that the state staff has provided. First of all, it appears that Los Osos has qualified for a $12 million grant. In state terms, it's a principal forgiveness. The part of the USDA, we were going to get $16 million in USDA grant money. Well, between the dates that I mentioned, May and October of last year, it went from $16 million down to $4 million. The loan amount then went up from $64 million to $83 million. We also have a security problem. There's $127 million in secured debt. What the USDA has said, they're insisting on being in first position, analogous to a home mortgage. This is leaving the SRF fund partially unsecured to the tune of some $20-plus million. If this sounds like a deja vu, it is, because the 2005 loan that was granted to the community basically was unsecured in its entirety. And so, and of course, you know the bankruptcy proceeding from the LOCSD and the fact that this money, this outstanding loan, was unsecured, gave them no priority in the bankruptcy proceedings. So the state board on March 1st will again be considering whether to loan unsecured monies. And it's all because the tail is wagging the dog. That's the USDA is controlling the financing package.
Okay.
Is that 3 minutes?
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, Mr. Weimer.
My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. I'm handing out, and what's on the overhead are the estimated costs for single-family homeowners. These estimates are taken from the county documents, and they are conservative in the sense that they lowball it. They assume conservation water use. They don't include construction overruns, and they we also have contacted contractors that say that on-lot costs will be much higher. In the right-hand column, the chart showed sewer and water costs. Of course, these will escalate with the purveyor basin plan measures. So households with four people will easily be looking at $400 per month, and larger households will most likely see near $500 per month or more in 2014. These costs will undoubtedly have catastrophic effects on the community, with 33% of people collecting Social Security. Even with these high costs, the project could make seawater intrusion worse and harm habitat, with the double whammy of stopping septic return flows at the same time purveyors make major changes in pumping regimes. These impacts from the basin plan measures are cumulative and should be reviewed in a subsequent EIR that looks at how we can minimize these impacts overall. Also, we're still looking for the substantial evidence to support this project. Where are the nitrate studies to prove that nitrates are increasing, as 8313 suggests? The studies we have show that they've stabilized, and the EIR says they're within drinking water limits. The studies we have also show nitrates are low in the estuary and fecal coliform are within safe limits. Septic systems, for the most part, are working, and purveyors are going to treat the water for nitrates in in areas where nitrates are higher. So where's the problem? The staff report suggests recycled water from the project is needed to balance the basin and stop seawater intrusion. Not so. You can stop seawater intrusion with nitrate treatment, changes in pumping, and intensive conservation. In other words, good basin management. You can also reduce nitrates and contamination with septic system and nitrate management plans, which have never been done. With limited collection to replace septic systems near the bay and in high groundwater, you can stop the tremendous unavoidable adverse impacts from the project. It's 6 million tons of greenhouse gases emitted and 3 million miles of vehicle trips, the equivalent of 3 round trips to the moon. And you can stop the catastrophic impacts on the community. So we recommend a subsequent EIR to investigate better projects.
Thank you for your comments. Julie Tacker, followed by Frank Acilio, and then Elaine Watson.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker. I'm a 40-year resident of Los Osos, and as you can see from Jeff's comments, when we talk about the Los Osos Wastewater Project, we are talking about two things, water and money. Both are important to our society. When I'll speak briefly to water, because that is the overarching issue, but how we pay for the project is something you can do something about. When you asked Chairman Young, when you asked Mr. Licaro what we can do for seawater intrusion, what we are doing about seawater intrusion, what your board can do about seawater intrusion, he said, we are encouraging purveyors. Well, I'm going to be encouraging the Steelers on Sunday, and they still may lose. You can cheerlead all you want. The fact is, negligence, like your enforcement actions, look to the root. Negligence in management of that basin is what's causing seawater intrusion. Now, on to the financing. Mr. Gibson was a champion for a wastewater project that sprayed valuable water into the air over a farm outside of our basin. The board, the San Luis County Public Works Department, and the Board of Supervisors spent $4 million of $8 million they've spent in proceeding towards this project on that dead-on-arrival project. What we have now before us, and what you can do something about, and I wish you had action in your item today, is encouraging the State Board to step up and loan as much money from the state revolving fund as is secured by the vote in 2007 from our residents. There's $127 million worth of security. The state revolving fund should be asking for complete security from our properties. The USDA money should be taking second place. We're going to be paying higher interest for a longer period of time on that money. The difference is the price of a pizza per month to the communities if we were going with state revolving fund over this USDA money. While we want to spread it out, no one ever asked the ratepayers of Los Osos if they could come up with that price of a pizza to make the difference in their monthly costs. And I see questions on your face. I'd be happy to answer them. So,
I don't have any at this point in time, but thank you for your comments.
I will remain in the room if you would like to ask me to come back.
Dr. Hunter.
Regarding the difference between the two sources, you're talking about a 40-year loan versus a 30-year loan. Is that the difference?
That's the difference. Okay. The longer we stretch it out, we're reducing the price of the monthly payment by the cost of a pizza per month.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Acilio, Elaine Watson, and then Ms. Taylor.
Frank Acilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to request the board consider, and when reports are submitted by staff, that actually the staff's name is placed on those reports. I think that's accountability to the public, as well as later on for Public Records Act, that name's on the report instead of generic staff. The other issue on the staff report, page 3, where it talks about groundwater basin balance, seawater intrusion. Relatively small quantity of drinking and irrigation water comes from individual private wells, mostly in the outlying areas. If you look at the Brown and Caldwell report, which is on your website, 1983, it talks about almost 1,100 acre feet of water from private wells. In 88, the U.S. Geological Survey, which is also on your website, again talks about 1,100 acre feet, private wells. You look at the report regarding the draft EIR, it also talks about 1,100 acre feet by private wells, both irrigation and private wells. You look at the Cleet Harrison report, and you'll see also that in July 2009, that it also talks about 1,100 acre feet. Seawater intrusion report, again, 1,100 acre feet. So I'm a little confused when the most recent report, the Los Osos Groundwater Basin update of May 4th, talks about the same thing, 1,100 acre feet, with equivalent of a little over 2,000 acre feet pumped by the water purveyors. So I don't consider myself that being a small quantity. You're looking at almost over a third of the basin. Also, I have a question that is even greater than has been reported in these reports. In the Cleet Harrison report of 2009, it did a survey. They had maps showing where the wells are located. And I went through and I did interactive map, Google map, and I found places that I believe that they missed. I gave you a copy of the response to them, to my report. Also, in 2007, I wrote to the County Health Department that issues the permits for the wells. They said that there were 350 wells. And the Cleet Harrison report says they identified 210 wells. So there's over 100 wells missing from that report to the other report. And you have a copy of that, because at one time I submitted a packet back to you, take action on seawater intrusion, which has that county report about how many wells they estimate being in the Los Osos area.
Thank you for your comments. Elaine Watson. Then Mrs. Taylor, Richard Margetson, and then Ben DeFada.
Good morning. Elaine Watson, Los Osos. I understand that you don't have jurisdiction over seawater intrusion at this point, but you still must deal with the nitrate question. And in that interest, I would request that you ask the county to voluntarily reinstitute biannual nitrate testing that was discontinued in, I think it was 2005 or 2006. I don't remember for sure. I understand the mandate. As the agency who issued the original mandate for this project and continues to drive it, I would think that you would want to demand that information. It's very important. The community has been asking for this information for a long time, and I know we would all be very interested in monitoring the progress of the nitrate problem. In a sort of related area, regarding Judge Crandall's decision, his ruling in the recent CDL case, his decision seems to be predicated on 8313, which assumes the continued increase in nitrates. That assumption is contradicted in this 2005 nitrate monitoring program report. It states that the nitrates and other trace elements are at equilibrium in the upper aquifer, and so they are not getting worse. It's surprising that this report was not cited in his ruling, because it's got the state stamp on it and it's got Soil Mark's name on it. Again, I'm sorry that that wasn't included, because this is an important piece of that information. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mrs. Taylor?
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. In 1970, the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff member, Bob Baldridge, reported saltwater intrusion in the Los Osos water basin In the following years, a number of engineers, hydrologists, and engineering firms reported saltwater intrusion. In 1975 and again in 1992, the U.S. Geological Survey and the State Department of Water Resources, remember that, State Department of Water Resources, reported saltwater intrusion into the Los Osos Water Basin. Yet there was no action taken by the county or the board, and saltwater intrusion continues at a rapid pace. The Los Osos CSD filed a complaint against one of the water purveyors in 2004 due to the basin overdraft and saltwater intrusion. In 2008, one of the purveyors in the ISJ applied to the PUC for the rate increase of 48% for the purpose of implementing the introductory stipulated judgment. The county, with a letter to the PUC, supported the increase and is now using the sewer project as a means of developing a basin master water plan in which the prohibition zone residents will pay again. The need for the board to require the county to test for nitrates in the water is more important now to assure that we are not addressing a costly project that saltwater intrusion should have been the primary problem addressed, and a costly sewer project that may not address a problem that could be addressed by installing and operating an ion exchange system for removal of nitrates from the upper aquifer water. The saltwater intrusion may be more costly than the nitrates, as there are no backup water supplies to the Los Osos water basin and a supply of water to all the community of Los Osos. Enforce your prohibition for new development, because it is continuing inside and outside the prohibition zone, not little family residences, 4, 5, and 6 bathrooms, community residences that should not be approved by this board or the county, because all it's doing is drawing more water out of a basin that is already overdrafted. You can stop development in the Los Osos area by increasing your structure of prohibition development inside or outside the prohibition zone. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mrs. Taylor. Richard Margetson, and final speaker is Ben DeFada.
Richard Margetson. I came today with a number of other items to talk about, but one of them being a 2.5 million gallon annual discharge from our local middle school into the groundwater basin that's not going to be connected to the project when the middle school is right across the street from those who will be connected to the project. But when I heard the county's response and update, I have to comment on a few things. First of all, the USDA loan originally came with a $16 million grant. We got $4 million. CDBG, at the most, we're looking at $200,000 and maybe for 2-3 years. The $194 estimate right at this point is down from original estimate when the county took the project over of $200. But what I really wanted to talk about is the rates and charges ordinance that is required by both the USDA and the SRF to fund. They had to pass this ordinance, which they did on December 14th, in order to move on with the funding opportunities from both agencies. Don't be so sure that that ordinance is valid and that it's not going to be challenged by the March 1st hearing in Sacramento. Mr. Gibson said that mobile homes right now are looking at about $100 a month. That's substantially higher than any update we've ever heard from the county. Mobile homes on the assessment portion of the project are only paying 27% of what a single-family residential would be. That estimate of 100, it's good this isn't being televised by AGP, because I think his office would probably be getting hundreds of calls by the end of the week. your question about the commercial zone, Mr. Gibson stated that they developed this ordinance based on the best information available at the time. The best information that they used was the 2004 Clayton Tuckfield report for the rates and charges ordinance that Los Osos CSD used to develop their ordinance. The county is part of the ISJ. They had the ability to get the purveyors to give up-to-date current information. The information in their ordinance, the one thing he talked about is the flow from the commercial, but I have challenges to a number of other categories in that ordinance. This ordinance is not valid. It wasn't structured properly, and it's going to cause them a problem at some point down the road. We've asked them to correct it early in the process. They've refused. So now their opportunity to correct this is gone. Now we have to go another direction. This ordinance is invalid. There is a portion of this community that's subsidizing another portion, and the mobile home category isn't even using the correct number of accounts. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker is Ben DeFatta.
Good morning, Chairman Young, Mr. Briggs, Board. I've always been at this for the last 4 years. I'm not a public speaker. Affordability. This, whatever you want to call it, it reminds me of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. The banker man, Mr. Potter, calling in all the notes for closure on everybody's, leaves the whole town, becomes Potter's Field. Utilities, count the sewer cost, utilities. It's running over $500 a month, and some even up to $700 a month. You take that out of this economy, what will it do to the surrounding communities and Los Osos? That's a big hit. Is this what you supervisors and water board want to be known for? Because of the internet, the whole country knows what's going on here, all because Mr. Gibson wants this overpriced, unaffordable, stinking sewer and won't change to an unaffordable technology, affordable, newer technology project. He has changed other components and locations, but won't change the gravity component. We ask why he doesn't want to save $30, $40, $50 million by going to other alternatives, but we never get an answer, a good one anyway. Have you considered, well, I never said that. We'll end up having one gas station, one market, one bank, and so forth down the line. All other businesses who are just barely hanging on by their fingernails now will go out of business for sure. If Mr. Gibson and his staff would have done some objective analysis on affordability when he started this project, today he would not have analysis paralysis. Where does this end? This is a fast-changing world. Everybody owes everybody money, and who ends up paying for it? The little person should be. We cannot afford this sewer, but it has to be affordable. We are an economically depressed zone, and for one set of people to subsidize the other people, and he says he's got $180,000, how long would that last to give to the people that can't pay? And I can't believe the money being loaned to us doesn't understand that we are economically depressed. This is a flawed gravity project. It's unaffordable, overpriced, and he went out there to the Tunini project, 643 acres when 30 acres is where we're at now. What kind of thinking is this? Then he was going to spray all the water in the air, never to be seen again. Where this country and this state is in dire need. Do you have anything against a vacuum or a step, which is $30 to $40, $50 million? You've heard several contractor people, whatever they call them, say that in front of you guys. You know, it's not on paper yet, but how far off could they be off? And I really, really believe that nitrate-wise, we're within the regulatory normal range right now. Mr. Gibson and the Sewer Welfare Department, what kind of deal is that? I got to subsidize my neighbor, you know. We're looking at several thousand people. I say several. Other people say 50% of the prohibition zone cannot afford that cost. He says $200. It's $250,000 to $350,000. And you know that every project that goes on will not be at the normal, whatever you set the price at. There's overcharges. There's change charges. You know that, sir.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank
Mr.
you, sir.
DeFatto.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that was our last speaker. Does the board have any comments or questions? We could ask staff and the supervisor whether they have any follow-up comments.
I'd like Supervisor Gibson to respond to some of those questions.
Okay. Mr. Gibson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you may know, the individuals you heard speak today appear regularly before us at the Board of Supervisors and in community meetings that we hold in Los Osos. And the issues that, almost without exception, the issues that they've raised today have been raised numerous times before and answered. I'm not going to respond to all of them. I think it's quite clear that we have no evidence in the record of a project that's $50, $60 million cheaper than the one that has now been permitted by the Coastal Commission. So we're not going to go there. I would respond to the speaker who suggests that the USDA financing is an unfavorable deal for Los Osos and that we should go knock on their door to get that corrected or demand the state revolving fund get that corrected. I'd observe that would be akin to you going to your mortgage bank and telling them that you wanted your mortgage payment lowered or your interest rate changed or the principal amount adjusted, and it just isn't going to happen. The basic premise of Mr. Edwards' suggestion that this is unfavorable financing is that over the course of the 40-year financing, more interest will be paid than it would be if it were over a shorter period at a lesser interest rate. That's true. But in terms of assessing affordability of this project, it has always been the case that the monthly cost is the standard that we're trying to drive lower. That is the number that makes a difference to the affordability of a household. And our finance experts and our technical experts have indicated that good public policy is to finance large public infrastructure projects over a term that's commensurate with its useful life. That's what makes the most sense. And so 40-year financing is absolutely appropriate, and 3.25 is by no means a high interest rate. That package was made possible by the ARRA funding, and while the original proposal from the USDA suggested a $16 million loan, $16 million grant, the timing of getting the permit through the Coastal Commission put us in the last batch of programs that got funded by the USDA, and the grant money had dried up to the point where $4 million was all that they could make available to us. They did raise the overall value or amount of the package from $80 million to $87 million. So we've told Mr. Edwards this on numerous occasions, and it's just not an issue for us. Monthly cost is the issue. You know, Mr. Weimer put a table up suggesting that a home of four people is going to be paying $400 a month. Again, if you look carefully at that chart, I did not see any specific numbers relative to four people. I saw 2.5 people, which is an interestingly constructed household, I would be at pains to point out. But I saw six people. I saw one person with a large number of assumptions there. And the best that I could do in the time that he had up there is his assumptions were six people in the household to get to $400 a month, six people in the household, no spreading of the cost with a second 218 vote to undeveloped property owners, more than $100 a month being paid by the property owner for the on-lot costs, when that's about twice what we're estimating the average monthly to be, and no accounting for a favorable SRF package. I would point out, in terms of the usage, we have made estimates that correlate usage to population in the house. But I would point out that as a condition of the coastal development permit, we're under the requirement to produce a water conservation plan that targets 50 gallons per capita per day indoor water use. So water conservation is going to be one of the keys to minimizing the cost of individuals on this wastewater project. I think that we're not there. We're not where I want to be in terms of the overall monthly cost. We have many other items yet to do to know how low we can drive this. But I was I heard one one speaker suggest that no one ever asked the ratepayers of Los Osos what they wanted to do in terms of paying for the sewer. And I would point out to your board that we've been to the ratepayers twice. First, in the benefit assessment district vote of fall of 2007, where each individual single-family home was had a proposed assessment of just under $25,000 each, and the community stepped up and approved that assessment by an 80% approval to 20% opposition. And then second, we went through the 218 process this last fall in the rates and charges hearing, which was always part of our work plan for processing, for developing the repayment on the financing of this project as a whole. Late October, we proposed a rates and charges ordinance, put it out for 45-day 45-day protest period, and not receiving a majority protest passed that ordinance in middle of December. I would point out that the protest amounted to 15% of the ballots sent out. My wishful side, my hopeful side, says that's indicative from the 2007 assessment at 20% opposition to 15% opposition, that amounts to diminishing public controversy. But that's my hopeful side, and obviously I'm comparing apples and oranges here. So, as to the, who's responsible for seawater intrusion, I think your staff and the chair have stated that quite clearly, that that has to do with litigation at this point. It is in the hands of the courts. The county is participating. The county is absolutely committed to making the effect of this wastewater project as beneficial as possible to resolving that problem. And beyond that, I think I've covered the. I don't think there are other issues that I need to cover.
Okay, Mr. Bricks. I don't think you mentioned the monitoring, and my understanding, and I think maybe Dave will address that, but I think part of the your adoption of a resolution in March or April is going to trigger reinstitution of monitoring. Is that correct?
Are you talking specifically about the funding commitment with I'm missing it.
The groundwater monitoring, mm-hmm. Resumption of groundwater monitoring.
Well, I did want to address one of the commenters, and I think hopefully this will answer your question. But one of the public members of the public had commented on ongoing nitrate sampling and analysis. The draft WDR, as it stands now, does have a section on groundwater monitoring. Certainly, we want to know, with the discharge, with respect to the areas for disposal, Broderson and those areas, we want to see, any contaminants, the integrity of the site, depth of groundwater, those types of things. But we also include kind of a staggering. There's going to be, as proposed, 16 monitoring wells closer to the southern portion of the community, closer to the Broderson disposal site. And we're going to be looking at a total nitrogen and all all of the forms as identified, so that would include nitrate. And then we also go into annual groundwater and biennial. This is, of course, in the draft WDR that's hopefully coming out next week, but that does include nitrate and long-term nitrate monitoring, and so we can see an improvement in the upper groundwater basin, you know, as a result of some of these sampling efforts.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter.
David, when was the groundwater monitoring discontinued or stopped for whatever reason?
The last study that I'm aware of that did analyze nitrates in the upper groundwater portion was done in October 2006 by Cleith and Associates. It's interesting because they also did a study, I think, in June 2005 that included four other wells. So they, you know, so a majority of the groundwater monitoring network, you know, are consistent in both studies, but then they left a couple out. But that was the last that I'm aware of. In fact, that that's what I've used to back up some of my information in the staff report that you'll be seeing and in the waste discharge requirements.
So roughly, I mean, in terms of determining if it's improving or not, we have a five-year gap of data where we won't know really what has changed in the last 5 years. And so we're comparing it to what? Well, once we start seeing new data, what will we do with that little five-year gap of information in terms of baseline?
Well, I'm not aware of anything, any efforts at this point to analyze nitrate in the upper aquifer during that five-year term. I'm hopeful that the basin management plan is as a county, as John was talking about, that includes a groundwater scheme or groundwater program, is going to include nitrate as one of the analytes for their sampling efforts. So they can definitely track improvements in nitrogen, hopefully.
So the LOCSD does not monitor its wells and the purveyors. Nobody's pumping from the upper aquifer anymore. We have absolutely no data to see how the trend is looking.
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the water purveyors. Mm-hmm. Certainly they have their own requirements to do sampling, to comply with public health, state public health mm-hmm. requirements. Mm-hmm. As far as studies are specific to nitrogen outside of that, I haven't seen anything from the water purveyors.
Okay. Well, I hope
certainly it's worth asking.
Yeah. No, I hope we consider every option for filling in that gap in information and understanding which way is the trend going.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonable question. The other thing I wanted to ask you, if I could continue, is the conservation plan. And I note in the staff report that you comment that regional board staff is working with the county on the conservation plan, which I think is a very good thing, because conservation was identified 20 years ago, and we still don't have a conservation plan. So how strong an effort do you think, and how complete an effort is this going to be, given the seawater intrusion problem, and what mechanisms do we have to assure that timeliness, which is way overdue from what I can see, that timeliness is going to be a huge priority? Because at every effort I've seen for a conservation program to come online, there are always bureaucratic kind of breakdown. There's no follow-through. There's a lot of good discussion, but somehow the program never comes into place, and somehow there's no mechanism to say this community should be reducing its water use as of today. We see it delayed year after year after year, even with the sad news of the seawater intrusion rate increasing at the rate it is. So can you just give me your best thoughts on the conservation plan?
Sure. Well, I guess I should just start by saying that in regards to the project and the waste discharge requirements that we're going to be putting out, certainly we have very little if any, jurisdiction to require a certain water consumption, water use for each of the individuals that live there in Los Osos. Certainly, I see some benefit going on with the Basin Management Plan, some of the county efforts, as well as some of the local CSD, the Los Osos CSD efforts in water conservation. It seems that the county has definitely put some efforts towards water conservation, and John might be able to speak to that. I know that the Basin Management Plan has a component that will include some discussion of water conservation with respect to the water purveyors and what they can do from, you know, what they own, what their jurisdiction is. And then more recently, I believe Los Osos CSD had approved some funding, or maybe, you know, and I'm not too clear on these details, but they have appointed specific duties for CSD staff to look at internal water use for those members in Los Osos. So those three in combination, I really get a feel for. Certainly there's some overlap, but there's definitely a conscious effort to try to reduce that water use and water consumption there in the basin. Just as a quick addition, I think, you know, we look at this project as, you know, one of the many elements that I think is going to have a positive effect on overall groundwater balance, one of which, of course, is going to have to be water conservation and recycled water use. So I think, again, just to go back to your question, my thoughts, that there's a lot of good things going on with respect to water conservation. John, I don't know if you had anything to add.
Yes, I can add a quick update on kind of the current status and where we're going on the conservation efforts. And I'm not intimately familiar with the purveyor's efforts, but I do know that they have a number of measures, conservation measures, that are in place and have been implemented recently, including tiered rate structures to encourage conservation, retrofit rebates, and retrofit packages that can be used to retrofit fixtures in your homes that you can get from the purveyors, as well as ongoing education program that includes education in the elementary schools on conservation and elsewhere in the community. And then the county, the county is not a water purveyor, so we have limited ability to influence conservation for the customers in Los Osos. We have, for a number of years now, had a retrofit on sale ordinance that requires any sale of home that, when the home transfers ownership, that the fixtures and toilets be retrofitted. And then as far as moving forward, there's under the ISJ process, they recognize the need for a conservation plan, and that is in the ISJ framework. And then the county has the condition as part of the wastewater project of an indoor conservation program with an indoor use goal of 50 gallons per capita per day. And so, of course, the county's condition really applies to indoor use and in the prohibition zone, but it has that goal of 50 gallons per capita per day. There's the nexus there with wastewater flows. And the approach we're taking is we're actually working with the purveyors through the ISJ to develop a comprehensive community-wide conservation program, which includes both inside and outside the conservation, the prohibition zone, and then it includes both indoor and outdoor use. So this comprehensive community-wide program that's integrated and looks at conservation on a holistic level, and then within that program, though, having recognizing the condition of the sewer project and the budget that's been allocated in the sewer project, to then make sure that those additional measures that may not have been included otherwise are in there, so that the indoor usage meets that goal of 50 gallons per capita per day. So that's a good example of the coordination. And the budget on the wastewater side is we have a requirement in the coastal permit condition to spend up to $5 million to meet that goal. So there is, we have a lot of resources there to meet that goal. And, as Mr. Licaro had in his PowerPoint, that we expect a draft basin management plan out of the ISJ process in the next couple months. And the intent is to have the conservation program as part of that basin management plan.
So when do you estimate the ISJ process to kind of conclude with a final document?
Well, the schedule and the goal is to release a draft plan in the next couple of months. March is the target. Have that out there for public input and review.
Okay. How long will the public have to review?
There's not a set standard like an EIR process or anything, but we anticipate it would be several months. And so the goal is to wrap it up with a final plan within the next year.
And who would the public comment to?
We'll have to set that up, but it would basically be to the purveyors and the county.
Okay, because my understanding from what I've heard before, I could be wrong on this, was that there really wasn't a good way for the public to get involved in the ISJ process, that they were essentially kind of locked out of it.
Well, that's correct.
Because it was a court proceeding.
It is a court process, but knowing that this will affect affect the public, it involves agencies like CSD and the county that have a high degree of requirements for public input and transparency. The plan is to release this draft plan for public input.
I would only observe that the groundwater litigation in general is really working on the public trust doctrine, and it is the sacred responsibility of the court to uphold that. That's why they're there. That said, we know that the practical application of solutions is something that the public will be very much interested in, as it affects them monetarily. And so the water purveyor situation in Los Osos is complicated by the fact you have a public agency, a mutual water company, and a private water company. We will maybe break some new ground in terms of public participation in this process, but we certainly are indicated in receiving public comment, receiving your staff and or your board's comment on it as well. I think we are looking for the best ideas and the most cost-effective solution.
Well, we'll definitely comment on it. I'd like the public to have an opportunity to do the same and have an adequate time to do it.
And they absolutely will.
Okay.
We'll have that.
All right. Question for Supervisor Gibson, and then Dr. Hunter, I'll get back to you. And maybe you discussed this, and perhaps it just slipped right by me. Are people's water rates going to be adjusted as part of this overall package that's coming down? Because I see in Mr. Weimer's table, he's got both sewer and water. You mentioned 194 for the kind of the base plant per month, and I know that didn't include, I think, some other things that you excluded, some prior commitments.
Right. Let me speak to that which I know about. That's a little different tack for me. No, I want to speak to simply on the wastewater side. I don't know what will happen to the rates charged by water purveyors. But we have put forward the rates and charges ordinance for rates on the wastewater, and into that rate ordinance, it is a little more complicated than usual because we considered two different scenarios. As we stand right now, $127 million. Let's ballpark this project at around $166 million. About $127 million of that is secured with property tax assessments on developed properties. In the process of developing that, we identified another $27 million of special benefit that could be assigned to the undeveloped properties. We chose not to put forward that assessment. We are working toward putting forward that assessment within the next 2 or 3 years, we hope, as we get other issues settled. So we have to deal with reality, which is that we do not have property tax security on more than $127 million. So the rates and charges ordinance, as it's constructed, if it were to go into effect today, and it won't, but if it were to go into effect, it would have to account for the debt service on everything above $127 million. It built into the ordinance is the provision that should the property tax assessment on the undeveloped properties go through at whatever time it goes through, rates will automatically be lowered because then the undeveloped properties will be picking up that debt service. I should point out a couple of things. One of them is no bills, no service charges are going to be charged to anyone until the plant is in operation, and then actually a little beyond that. Property tax assessments may start showing up on property tax bills within the next year or two, and they will tend to ramp up as monies are taken out to do this. And the other thing is that the numbers that are in our rates and charges ordinance, which can be found in our staff reports or through our Public Works Department, are maximums. The maximum flat or fixed charge cannot be higher than that. The per unit charge cannot be higher than $7.54 without us going back to the affected parties for another Proposition 218 proceeding. So our rates and charges ordinance is crafted to raise, at this point, $5.7 million a year to pay for operations and maintenance, replacement, and unsecured debt service. If we don't need $5.7 million because our debt service is less or our operations are more efficient or whatever the reason is, we, the board, can adjust the rate for and on a year-by-year basis to be less than the maximums, but they will not be more than the numbers that are put forward.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter, you had another question?
Just one last point on affordability. I heard someone say that approximately 33% of the community is on fixed income. I don't know who said that, but and then I heard someone else talk about maybe 50%. And I'm wondering, considering fixed income probably is seniors and disabled, and then maybe considering young families, has the county made any projections on how many households may actually qualify or need assistance? And also to confirm my numbers, it's roughly 5,000 households in the prohibition zone.
Right.
So 2,500 households
about,
may need assistance?
Well, about 5,000, yes. About a third of the community of Los Osos as a whole on fixed income, that's the number that I last understood. As to the individual household income distribution, we're awaiting the release of the 2010 census data to give us the latest view on that. So right now we don't know. On top of that, the question of who is going to need assistance becomes very complicated because mm-hmm. every individual situation is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It's our goal to provide, if you will, counseling services, if you would like to think of them that way, to those who wish to take advantage of them, that would get them in touch with the various programs that might be able to help them if they have an income problem, an affordability problem with this sewer. We hear wild speculation as to what fraction of the community is going to be displaced from their homes because of the cost of this project. We don't know the ultimate cost of this project, and we don't know how people are going to specifically react in every case. So I would consider that to be speculation and on limited information. But everybody's situation is different in terms of assets, in terms of incomes, in terms of, you know, all the different aspects of household life. Our commitment is in one place to provide access to every possible source of assistance that we can. That's a process that we will be ramping up over the 3 years of the construction. We, you know, as I say, we're targeting our work, and as we get this project into construction, that's going to be a very, very significant focus.
Well, just as my final comment, I would urge the county to get these projections set up so that people can assure themselves and the confidence you have that we're going to be able to address the issues for these folks who, you know, that if it turns out to be that half the community truly needs assistance and the programs can only go so far.
Well,
so we need, you know, the sooner those, and frankly, this has been in the play for so long, and I'm still surprised that we still don't know how many households we think are going to fall below the line in terms of being able to afford this project.
Certainly, we understand. We're actually working on some preliminary numbers now as part of the completion of our discussions with the State Water Board. We're going to get as the best information we have at this time to try to understand the distribution of income and where this is going to land. I can assure you that we are going to do the very best we can. The difficult thing, and the thing that I've expressed to the public before, is that we have to get this community sewer system in. It's actually a mandate from your board that happen. And we are deeply concerned at what it's going to cost, but we don't have the option of not doing it because of the cost. So the goal is the best we can, and we're working very, very hard to get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other? Yeah, Dr. Wolf.
Yeah. Is there being consideration on potential revenue stream from beneficial use of a treated water and also offsetting of cost, meaning, say, public park using metered water and by using recycled water, is that avoided cost of using
Let me have John. The short answer is yes. The complexity of developing that reuse plan is considerable. I'll let John answer it.
So at this point, we're developing the reuse program and plan, identifying the users, and the urban users have been identified. It's the agricultural users that we're still pinpointing. As far as a revenue stream, we've actually, in our calculations, to be conservative, have not factored in a revenue stream. But we would expect that we would get some revenue from the recycled water. So that will be, an overall benefit to the project, and it will help reduce the costs from our current conservative estimates. But how much that is, we still have to complete the negotiations with the users to determine that.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this matter? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And I guess we will see you back here, maybe not yourself, Supervisor, but your staff in May.
At your pleasure, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would expect so.
Okay. All right. Thank you all very much.
You.
This concludes this agenda item. And we'll move on to number 18, Mr. Briggs?
17.